Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Guinea Pig. I want to tell you when this episode was recorded, but as I don't even know what day of the week it is, I can't really do that. But it was quite some months ago, and it's an episode about eyes, panda eyes, all things eyes, and what the hell celebrities think they're doing to their eyes. So it was recorded with the rather fabulous Chrissy Eiley, and it's coming to you now. Rather later than sooner, but I hope you enjoy it. I did. And thanks for listening to The Guinea Pig.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mariam Zamani, and I'm an oculoplastic surgeon with a special interest in facial aesthetics and also the founder of MZ Skin. And this is The Guinea Pig Podcast. Why are we called the guinea pig?
Because that's what I am. I'm writer and journalist Fiona Goldfarb, and I'm here, ready and willing, to try out just about any treatment and treatment going. We are the breath that you take before trying anything out there. So, if you're looking for an honest, no-holds-barred approach to invasive and non-invasive cosmetic surgery,
then come join us from the clinic every Thursday on the Guinea Pig Podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Guinea Pig. I'm here in the clinic with Fiona.
Hi. Today we're not alone. This time we're joined by celebrity journalist and friend to the stars, Chrissy Eiley. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi. Am I really a friend to the stars or am I a foe? That's to be debated, but anyway, I'm sitting here with numbing cream on my face, so I'm not sure if my face will become numb and I won't be able to talk, or whether I'm just kind of feeling gently cooled.
Gently cooled, I like that. So why don't you tell us what you see in Hollywood these days? What are the tweakments that people are doing there, and what have you actually noticed? Great.
So the big downer at the moment is that I'm noticing people with the reverse panda eye. These are people who maybe 2-3 years ago had an eye job with no doubt a guy who had worked on famous people who walk around as advertising their wares. So the reverse panda is where they've had the eye job to remove bags underneath their eyes and sagging hooded eyes, but they're so completely hollowed out that they're like, they walk around like ghoulish or reverse pandas because they don't have the fat to plump it back in. So they've just got this blankness of expression which goes around their whole eye socket. So that's a particularly bad look where work went wrong. And I think Hollywood is a showcase of work going wrong and film stars just not looking like themselves anymore. So now there's a backlash. Everyone wants to look like themselves. Everyone wants to look natural, except they want to, of course, pay lots of money for that.
What are the trends there to look natural without looking dumb?
Well, there are two Hollywood face queens and they hate each other. Mm. And they're both rivals for the number one and they're very opposite. One is a woman called Barbara Sturm, famous for inventing the vampire facial. And she has a huge range of creams, and Cher can't go anywhere without the eye cream, which is very, very light. It's this light cream. All of her creams are light but powerful, and I tried them out and everyone said, yeah, your skin looks great. So it's not really about youthfulness. It's about daring to go bare. And she is, I don't know how old she is, in her 40s. And it's not that she looks younger than that. She's just wearing her skin really, really well. She's like proud of people can look in it. It's so clear. It's radiant. So she's promoting radiant skin, looking natural with, of course, Botox and fillers. So that's her version of it. And she's against organic products. She's against oils. And that's what she's about. And she's like really doing well. People know her and recognize her as a potential number one. She's extremely competitive. I think she was a former tennis player. And her rival is the older queen of Hollywood. Her name's Sonia Dacar. I have no idea how old she is, but she's celebrating her 30th anniversary in Hollywood soon. And she does oils, organic, the complete opposite.
Antithesis.
Yes, and she has been doing celebrity faces for a really long time, and there's not one famous person in Hollywood that she hasn't treated. And, you know, she's good. I think she's a magician. Her cream, she does a sculpting mask. It's fantastic. And it's, you know, it's clearly not surgical. And you cannot get an appointment with her for love nor money. People fly in all over the world. And I think she's so the antithesis to the new queen. I think the old queen's coming back in. Mm. She's
coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is true. I feel like in Hollywood, you know, people always say, well, you know, the stars, they have the ability and they know where to go. But I kind of sometimes think that people get skewed as well, because what looks good in photographs and necessarily particularly on a big screen might not necessarily look good in real life. And so sometimes the same way people come into my office that I might follow on social media and they look completely different, yeah, because of all the filters that they've done,
yeah,
than what they do in real life. And actually the filter doesn't look so bad, but in real life they look like they've had too much done. So
yeah,
I find that a little bit difficult for people who are on television, because there's so much scrutiny. You know, someone has, I don't know, a double chin, and they, you know, the next day they don't have it anymore. Oh, liposuction, you know, this and that. It's just automatic reason for people to start chatting about you, which I guess could be very overwhelming.
I mean, there was a case of an actress that I once was profiling, who'd had a lot of press about, there'd been a picture of her had gone out, and everyone was saying, look what she's done. And I went to do this interview, and obviously the first thing I did was put my nose as close to her face as I could, you know, to see.
Yeah.
And actually she was covered in very nice wrinkles, and she'd had, what had happened was she'd been at something and she'd been shot in that foul light that you get shot in every time you walk down a red carpet, and one bad shot goes towards ruining your reputation. Mm-hmm. And I wrote in this piece, you know, I don't know what she's done, but, it, you know, I'll have what she's having, because I think she looked great and I didn't think she looked done. And it's brutal both ways in Hollywood, because you're so exposed, and having the best skin person is like the badge of honor. It's like, you know, they're bigger celebrities than the stars, the surgeons. There's a very famous publicist who I'm sure you know called Peggy Siegel.
Mm-hmm.
And Peggy Siegel I love, because when she had, I think it was her 60th birthday, she sent all her friends a list of all her surgeons who'd gone towards making. And I think that's what's changed more than anything, is that everybody's owning it, and the rivalry to have the best plastic surgeon or the best.
But I think it's twofold. Women who are like the publicists, the PAs, the producers, yeah, they're owning it because it's their slice of celebritude.
Yes.
But the actual celebrities, they still pretend like, oh yeah, I just woke up like this. Yes. I'm just such a miracle worker. I've got no wrinkles on my skin. It just happened. And there are lots of famous ones that whose faces have changed from kind of like a wide face to a totally sucked in face. Oh no, that just happened. I lost weight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or a balloon face. But I wonder why that is. I wonder why they can't embrace what everybody else is embracing, and why this, I mean, I understand the need to look perfect and young in Hollywood, because frankly you don't get employed if you don't.
You can't embrace age in Hollywood. It's if you're not young and pretty, Hollywood is a very cruel place.
Or Jane Fonda. And you've got to kind of go through the low,
yeah,
I think, don't you? And come out the other side and be...
Yeah, but those 80-year-old actresses are having a resurgence.
Yes.
But it's the ones that are 40s and 50s. Mm. You don't see Annette Bening too much anymore. You see Julianne Moore, but an exception.
It's interesting you say that. I had a conversation with an actress recently who's in her mid-40s, and she actually brought out the ageism in Hollywood and said a lot of Hollywood women, you know, they say they go to, you know, quote unquote, spend time with their families or take a little bit of time out, but actually there are no roles for the 40 to 50 year olds, and even the really big actresses who were huge, you know, like the Julia Roberts, who was earning as much as a George Clooney in Ocean, you know, in the Ocean's 11 or 12 or whatever number it's on right now. It drastically changed as she got older, and now they're still getting paid the, you know, the big salaries, yeah. And she's taken a huge financial cut, and no one really talks about the ageism.
Funnily enough, I think it allows them to take more interesting parts. I've just seen something Julia Roberts did. I can't remember its name, with the son who was an addict. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was a brilliant film. Yeah, she was fantastic in it.
She played the deranged mother.
She played the deranged mother.
But she's no longer America's sweetheart, and no. I think that's hard for her to accept. Or maybe it's not hard for her to accept. It's hard for people to accept, so they can't accept her in a new role, which is a much, much more tough and much more vulnerable. They just don't want that from her because she spent her whole career
being
America's sweetheart. Yeah. So you can't then become America's interesting woman.
No. And then you find women in their 40s putting on aging makeup and playing the older parts.
Mm. Which is unfortunate. So this actress was actually saying, you know, the parts for that age range are almost non-existent. And so
she said, as
a woman of that age, she's a big Hollywood actress. She said, you know, I'm not looking at those roles. I know I have to wait for another 10 years until I can get another big role. And I thought that's till you're at a different age point and then you're the older woman in the roles. And I thought, wow, 40 is so young to fit into. I'm too old. You're too young to be the older woman, but you're too old to
be the
younger
woman.
There's a
marvelous scene in The Roman Spring of Mrs. Stone, which is a Tennessee Williams book that was the first film that Warren Beatty was ever in. And Vivian Leigh plays his older lover, and he's a gigolo. And when he leaves her finally for a much older woman, Vivian Leigh's having kind of nervous breakdown on a terrace in Rome, and he looks at her and he says, "What are you, 50? And I was kind of clutching my own breast thinking, 50? She looked about 70, and she must have been about 30. But it was just, the implication was so awful.
I love that.
Chrissy, can I ask you, because you're really one of the most kind of powerful and influential celebrity interviewers that, I mean, I adore what you write, but I know for myself as a journalist that interviewing celebrities became less and less interesting because they had to become more and more guarded and they were protected by this sort of army of publicists. And yet you always seem to get something very candid out of them. You're amazing. But do you think that's changed very much recently? Do you think it's as much, I don't know, as interesting as it once was, the characters that you meet?
I think that people are interesting, and they're interesting, and they stay interesting. And particularly the old school, the high on A-list people, they don't do an interview with guarded. They know how it's done. They'll invite you into their home. They'll peel off a layer of skin if you so desire, because when they started off, that's what you did. Mm. And fortunately, there's still a lot of those around that you actually want to talk to. The younger ones may want to have their publicist sit in, and that's a bit of a killjoy. And sometimes that just doesn't work. I try not to have people sitting in. But some of the younger ones are really, really brilliant. They've just been treated like cliches.
Yeah. Do you ever ask them about whether they've had procedures or...
Yeah, well, they've... You know,
and they'll tell you?
Yeah.
And the guys?
Not so much, probably.
The guys, I did ask. I tend to ask guys who are older looking and still handsome what they've had done. Recently, I remember really staring into Rob Lowe's eyes and face and skin.
I mean, that face.
I would stare into that those features myself without trying to search for any.
Well, I think I got a bit lost there, but yeah, I did. He's so chiseled. It's like he created this, and he has a cream which he loves. I think he's now selling it. It's his own cream.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he hasn't had anything done, but he's just got those great bones.
I did run into him at the gym here.
Oh, wow.
It was, yes. And the poor guy.
He was just staring pathetically.
No, you know, I was actually on a conference call, and we were the only two people in the entire gym. And he had a hat on, and he kept looking at me, and he probably thought, poor thing, that I was, like, probably filming him while he was working out, because I was very quiet on my conference call. But and then after 5 minutes, I didn't pay him any attention, but I could feel someone was sort of, like, looking, and then I'm like, oh, my God. It's Rob Lowe.
He thought you were Angelina Jolie. That's why, obviously.
As if, and then I tried not to look at him because obviously now I knew who he was, and I was like, oh my God. And
well,
I was
he's very nice, and yeah, you know, really he wouldn't mind being looked at.
Because cosmetic surgery is nothing new to men in Hollywood. No. Because famously, I think Sinatra had work done, and I think it was Cary Grant who had work done. But I think there was a lot of surgery back in the day. You know, look at Marilyn.
It was more obvious back then. So, you know, back then when they had the facelift, you could tell because the face was really quite stretched and pulled, and you could see scars, and it wasn't as finessed as it is now. So now, the beauty of plastic surgery now, I think, is that you can do different parts. So you can do a lower facelift, you can do just a neck lift, you can do just your eyes. Whereas before, it was like you went in and you had, you know, 2 months of recovery and you had everything pulled to it.
You looked like you were talking through a stocking.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So thankfully, I feel like that has changed. I do think sometimes, unfortunately, the people who are so scrutinized, they're always looking to make themselves feel better and to look better, and then they don't get that positive reinforcement from, you know, the public, and then they go back, and mm-hmm. It's almost like a snowball effect.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I think it's an addiction, whether they love what they've had done and they think, oh, yeah, well, I just have a bit more and it'll be even better. And then there's been some very sad faces, you know, the famous pillow faces of very famous America's Sweetheart type actresses that have just ruined themselves with that. Or there's ones that have been not quite right to start with, and then they go back for more to adjust it. And it just ends up looking like not their face. And when you have a trademark face which is known throughout the world, to then not have that face, it's shocking.
Yes. Is there someone that people use as a point of reference, like, I'd love to look like so-and-so, or, you know, do you see that?
Oh, I think people do. They you know how it has been known that people would take a cutting from a magazine and say to the hairdresser, yeah, I really want that hair. And the hairdresser looks, and they're looking at a woman who's got long, limp, blonde hair, and she's pointing to African-American hair. Yes. It's just not going to happen.
Yes,
I believe that they do that. Exactly. I want to look like her. And, you know, wrong skin color, wrong race, wrong everything.
Yes.
And very few of them say no. They go, oh, well, let's give it a go.
We can do that, yes.
Yeah, we can give it a go.
I want to look like Barbara Streisand. Can I have the nose, please? Yeah. I don't want my nose less. I want my nose more, and I want her face. I want her haircut from Funny Girl. Not from now, necessarily.
Yeah.
But there's definitely those. She was my pin-up growing up.
Mine too.
Was she yours too?
Yes. And just 2 days ago, I saw the Barbara version of A Star Is Born.
Oh, I saw it this summer. Isn't it the best?
It's the best. I wanted her outfit.
Do you know that in the credits at the end of that, it says wardrobe, Miss Streisand's own.
Yeah.
It was all her clothes in that film, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Did you know that she was the producer of that film but took away the producing credit and cut some of her scenes because she was afraid that people would think this is too much Barbara?
Really?
Isn't that funny? And yet she then produced Gentle.
Go figure.
What you keep your name on and what you take it off.
I love Yentl. Come on.
Did you love Yentl? Papa, can you hear me?
Papa, can you hear me?
Papa, can you hear me?
Papa, can you hear? Oh, my God.
Okay, you guys can do a little duet.
Oh, my God.
Now, can I ask, there's numbing cream on Chrissy's face, but I'm not entirely sure what you're going to do, Mariam. I feel like it's a sort of treat to behold. What are we going to do?
It's a numbing cream treat.
We are going to put just very small amounts of hyaluronic acid filler into a little bit of hollowing underneath, particularly her left eye, because she's a little bit feeling like she has a little bit of a puff there. So we want to smoothen it out just slightly. Very small amounts, so it shouldn't be noticeable.
So I know I've got the face for the radio, but just to describe, I've got a very asymmetric puffing scenario on one side.
So it's a very mild amount of puffing on her left side. So basically in the lower eyelids, we have three fat pockets. And on Chrissy's left side, there's a very small amount that's prolapsed forward, which is normal. I mean, it happens to everyone. It's like getting gray hair. So if you are fortunate enough to live long enough, everybody gets it. Some people in their 20s, some people in their 50s, some people in their 70s. So it happens everywhere. But it's causing her, not distress, but you know, you're not very happy with it, and it makes you feel.
I notice it, especially as I've noticed all these people with the reverse panda eyes. I think, oh, right, now I see why they had them done.
Yes.
But is it better to have the reverse pandas?
No.
But
no. Yeah. So you have very, very little
exposure to famous people makes you think more about the way you look.
No, reverse pandas is not on famous people. Reverse pandas is on girlfriends of mine and people in the street. Like they're the ones who are just so delighted to talk about going to a surgeon that's held a needle to Jane Fonda, and they're going to be touched by that similar finger.
It is that, isn't
finger.
It? It's like hairdresser. Yeah. It's the hairdresser who did the hairdresser whose assistant. Yes,
yeah.
It's everybody, somebody in Hollywood.
Well, not just
or everywhere.
There were many Princess Diana hairdressers who just lived for legends of, you know, I touched the hair of Diana and now I can touch yours.
Yes.
And there was a couple of Diana lovers who were like, wow, you know, I've been there, and using that as a selling point. So
I think the celebrity recommendation has become a sort of epidemic, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's like the Princess Diana hairdresser.
Yeah. Point taken.
All right. So the numbing cream has been on for about 20-30 minutes. It's really just to take the edge off of the little tiny needle that I'm going to inject.
I can't feel anything different.
Great.
You won't feel
any different. But the filler will have a little bit of lidocaine, which is also a different kind of numbing agent that goes inside. So sometimes the eye can feel a little funny, the cheek, all the way down to the lips. And that's totally normal. It lasts for about 10-15 minutes, but the whole purpose of this was to hopefully make this as pain-free of treatment as possible for you.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say before how I've got really sensitive skin and I could end up screaming and the whole podcast because of curdling
screaming from the room.
What about the other patients in the clinic right now?
I once had a laser treatment to remove a brown spot, and I screamed so bad all the other patients left, and I was then banned because I'd caused such a loss of earnings to the doctor.
I'm so glad we recorded before. Let's just add a bit where we go, oh, you look fabulous, bye.
So shall we start now while we
do this treatment to Chrissy? Well, I won't do it because I'm not qualified.
Okay, so let's get started.
How many people scream?
Mariam's about to start her procedure. Chrissy's lying on the bed.
She's closed her eyes.
I just want to say she's got very nice socks on, Chrissy. I like your socks.
A needle is coming, but I'm not looking at it. I'd like you to breathe in through your nose.
I'm breathing through mine
like
as well.
You breathe out through your mouth. This is the prick.
Well, you could feel that, but it wasn't too bad.
It doesn't feel like pain. You can feel the feeling more than a sensation, don't you think?
Right now, you can feel
So this is a little bit of discomfort. So you can feel, this is actually not a needle, this is a cannula. So I made a little prick with the needle, and the purpose of that was so that I can put this cannula so she's less likely to have any bruising or swelling. Look up to the ceiling for me. You can open your eyes. You won't see any needle.
We're holding hands. Chrissy's looking very calm.
I'm not really feeling calm.
Take a breath, Chrissy. Breathe just in breathe in and out so
and
that you're not...
Out,
yes. People forget to breathe, yeah. I think, sometimes.
I do, they do.
I forget to breathe all the time.
Use your yoga.
Thing. Yeah, use your yoga.
Looks amazing already.
There's no needle in there now.
So it doesn't feel like there's a big boulder in there.
No.
It doesn't feel like anything.
So it just looks straight ahead.
And Mariam's just very lightly sort of pressing her thumb against the socket of Chrissy's eye. So
like
you're
she's
moving,
a sculptor.
Like you're sculpting, but that's what you're doing.
That is what
it?
I'm doing. It has improved. I need to do a little bit more in the same area. So lay back down for me.
Let's do your breathing.
So hopefully
I feel like
you
I'm guiding
have...
you through
yes,
childbirth.
Breathe, oh no.
Breathe, darling, breathe. So Mariam's gone back in.
And through the same injection point, so it's less likely to have any irritation.
It's got very nice sparkly eyeshadow on, if I may say so.
Okay, so
and that was a wince, not really a scream, but...
No, that was not a scream.
That was a wince, but that felt like there was something big hitting the cheekbone.
So breathe in through your nose and breathe out through your mouth. So this is a really, I've actually now using, instead of a cannula, I'm using like a very, very small 32 gauge needle. For anybody who knows what a Botox needle is, this is even smaller than that. And I'm going just putting a very small amount in the outer corners of the eye, because actually sometimes we have a little bit of hollowing in that area and it's difficult to assess that. And also with all the blood vessels, this is such a small needle, hopefully she won't have any, she shouldn't have any bruising so far. But
and there was no wincing there, was there?
No, that one was easy.
Wince free.
Look up to the ceiling for me.
On your desert island, who would the most entertaining person you've interviewed be? Who would you take with you?
Well, I would take a musician because they got to sing to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably take Bono.
Really?
Really.
I like Bono.
Yeah.
I was maybe two summers ago, we were in the south of France and we were at a restaurant and Ellie Goulding was at one table and there was another table and then it was Bono and his group at another table. And
you were in Ez?
No, I was in Saint-Tropez and I was at Saint-Cinq. And so my daughter adores, she had no idea who Bono was. Meanwhile, she's like, Mommy, that's the one who sings, I think, Let It Burn, Baby. I forgot the name of the song. And she said, I'm going to go up to her. So she goes up to Ellie Goulding and, you know, was like, I love this song, and took her iPod and said, can you sing it for me? And Ellie Goulding was so embarrassed. She was like, no, I can't sing. That's only in the music. And then after 5 minutes, my daughter comes back and Bono sends her a bottle of champagne just to say...
She's
you know,
like four.
But it was... No, not to my daughter.
That's a bit weird.
That would have been a story. No, just to say, you know, like, just a nod to one another.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so
That's
kind of
nice.
Him. And I was such a cutie pie. And I couldn't believe my daughter didn't know who Bono was.
I met my husband
so
at a U2 concert.
Really?
Did you?
Yeah, that's where we fell in love.
What
they played in Leeds, and I was asked up to Leeds by this guy who I wasn't really interested in.
So you met your husband
and I said, I'm not coming. And he said, oh, blah, blah, blah's coming. And I knew who my husband was. And this man said, oh, you know, he's coming. And I was like, oh, okay. And the three of us went to this U2 concert. And the whole way through the concert, the one that I didn't like had his hand on my shoulder. And my husband and I were just kind of gazing at each other. Yeah.
So what was the song that you and your man fell in love with?
I think Still Haven't Found.
Oh,
yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
You're so cute. Sit forward for me, please.
But isn't it funny? So Bono for all of us.
Bono, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm only doing a small amount. The way that I normally operate with these types of things is that because hyaluronic acid loves its weight in water, and it can be, it can attract water after the injections are done, I always under-treat.
Yeah.
It's always easy to go back. I mean, yes, it's a little uncomfortable to come back to have it done again, but it's better to do that so that you don't get puffy. So the antithesis of this is to be puffy, and so I don't want you to...
Be puffy.
So breathe in.
I love that you are on the side of caution, Mariam. I think that's so important when everybody wants so much so quickly.
You know, the nice thing about hyaluronic acid is it's true. You can dissolve it. There's an injection and I can make it go away, but breathe in and breathe out. But
you know, it's another hassle. You don't want to come back and have, it's not an exact process. It's much nicer to always do less, and we can always come back and add a little bit more. It's not so hard. Now, the biggest thing here, as I said, is a little bit of swelling and potentially bruising. If you do have some swelling, you can take an antihistamine, so something like a Zyrtec or a Claritin is something nice to take.
Yeah.
I have used a very small amount. I've basically used a half a syringe between the two eyes. I used a product called Juvederm Volift. I used both a cannula and a very small needle to do this. So I am going to apply a little bit of pressure just to make sure that there's no bruise. We're done. That's all I'm going to do now.
That was a fabulous experience clenching with you.
I loved that with you, actually.
Yeah,
I quite like meeting you.
Yeah, me too.
So you have a little bit of swelling right now, just above it. So that's more swollen than it would be because it's the fat is holding on to a little bit of fluid, but that's going to settle down.
Uh-huh.
And then we can always add a little bit more if we need
to. But this is completely unpandering.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it is. This one... looks like so super smooth but completely natural.
Yes.
This is on my good side. Mm-hmm. On my bad side, it's still, well.
You can still see a little bit.
You can still see it, yeah.
But it'll improve. It will improve.
Much, much less. Yeah. Chrissy, Eily, thank you so much for coming on The Guinea Pig.
Thank you for holding my hand.
It was a pleasure.
And also, I got really cross with Barbara Streisand and told her, what do you mean one side of your face is good and the other is bad? This is ridiculous. You're both of them are gorgeous. Will you stop this?
I'm so jealous you've interviewed Barbara Streisand.
Well, not yet, but I shouted at her. And she went, oh, and she promised that she would take a picture with me because she, you know, she never takes pictures. Mm. She did. And now, like a few years later, I felt that one side of my face was totally puffy and the other was fine.
So she's always right.
So she Barbara Streisand's always
she's
right.
Always right.
Yeah.
We agree.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for listening to today's episode. And if there's a subject you want us to cover, then drop us a line at theguineapigpod@gmail.com. And please do follow us on our Instagram, which is @theguineapigpodcast. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, and hope you tune in next time.
The Guinea Pig provides unbiased information to those who may be considering cosmetic surgery or even trialing a non-invasive treatment or product. We do not endorse the use of any product or procedure featured in this podcast and are not responsible for the outcome of any of the treatments featured on this podcast or damage caused in connection with any treatments or products. Should you decide to try any of the procedures, treatments or products mentioned in any episode of The Guinea Pig, you do so at your own risk. Always consult an independent and fully qualified medical professional if you are considering embarking on a medical procedure, irrespective of whether it's an invasive or non-invasive procedure.